You know, guys, it has been a cool year at Fellowship of the Rockies, and cool and challenging and all that good stuff. And, you know, as we enter into the last month of the year, just a big part of how churches operate today is through the generosity that comes at the end of the year. And every year, Christy and I, our family, we always set aside a special gift for the church. And we would just ask you to consider joining our family in doing that so God can do even more things in 2018. All right, so everybody get your Bible and open them to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. By the way, if you haven't noticed it, we're changing the order just a little bit today because we want to, we're going to have a time of an extended time of worship and communion at the end of service. So Psalm 100. And as you're getting there, I just being candid with you, you know, I think the Bible sometimes makes ridiculous statements. I mean, like, God, what the heck were you thinking, right? I mean, so Ephesians 5:19 says this, "Sing and make music from your heart, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." I mean, who the heck does God think he is? Give thanks for everything. Be joyful all the time. I mean, it's quite obvious that Paul wasn't thinking about 2018 America when he wrote these words, right? I mean, we have a cruel crackpot dictator who's about to be armed with an intercontinental nuclear-tipped ballistic missile pointed at America. You have crazy people walking into churches and schools with guns, killing people for no good reason. You have nut jobs sticking crazy assault rifles out of windows, shooting innocent people at a concert. Some of you are saying, be joyful always, give thanks in all circumstances. You're saying, God doesn't know me. God doesn't understand my family, my marriage. It's on the rocks. Be thankful. Some of you are saying, hey, this is another holiday season alone, or maybe this is the first holiday season alone, and you're saying, I'm to give thanks for that. Do these words really apply to me? Do those words really apply to you? Do those statements from God really apply to us? Absolutely. And friends, we can begin to give thanks in all circumstances. We can be joyful for things that are happening when we take our focus off of our circumstances and place them on our God. We can be thankful in everything. We can be joyful in all situations when we take our focus off of our circumstances and place them on our God, when our focus is directed to him. Now, the foundation for this psalm today that we're going to read, the foundation for those words, those verses that were written in Ephesians and Thessalonians, they come from the section of scripture known as the Royal Psalms. There's seven of them. And it talks over and over again about the need to praise God, the need to give thanks, the need to trust him, the need to have focus on him. And then when we do that, worship is going to happen. Praise is going to happen. Thanksgiving is going to take place. Let me read you the first verse of each of these seven psalms. Psalm 93:1 says this: the Lord reigns, he is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. Indeed, the world is established firm and secure. Take our focus off of our circumstances and place it on our God. Psalm 95:1 says this: come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Psalm 96:1, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Psalm 97:1, the Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Psalm 98:1, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. Psalm 99:1, the Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. Take that, King Kim Jong-un. Let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake. Take our focus off of our circumstances and place it on our God and be thankful all the time. All right, so we're going to do some things not quite in the normal routine at Fellowship of the Rockies today, and you know, we're going to do some more singing at the end and at the beginning. But the other thing I'd like us to do is I'd like us all to stand again. Everybody should have your Bible, Psalm 100. Keep your Bibles, your phone, your tablet, whatever. We're going to put it on the screen, but I think it's really cool if you read it in your version. Unless you're not reading the NIV, it might be a little bit harder to keep up, but that's all right, okay? And, you know, for centuries, churches, when they came together in worship, they did what was called, they sang a hymn, which was called the doxology. And the doxology actually comes from this psalm. It was an Anglican bishop, and in the early 1700s, he wrote the doxology from this psalm here. Did I get the words for the doxology up here? Are we doing that? No, we don't have the words. We do. Are you sure we have the words? The words for the doxology. It's praise God. Yeah, this was going to be bad. No, we don't have the. Okay, we're going to try it. We're going to try it at. Okay. We're really in trouble because you got a bad leader leading without words. Let's try it. Okay. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. That's pretty, yes, it's pretty good. Okay, now we're going to read the psalm together, okay? All right, now we'll go back to Psalm 100, verse 1. Read with me. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. God, we come before you today with a variety of hearts. Some that are angry, some that are bitter, some that are broken. But God, through the power of your truth, the truth of your word, our hearts are going to leave here today being hearts of thankfulness. We are thankful because of you. We are thankful for you. Because you and you alone rise above all. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Hey, you can have a seat. All right, so As I was looking at the psalm a couple few weeks ago and really breaking it apart, I saw in the psalm three key truths, and if we will pay attention and heed to these three key truths and understand them and practice them, then we can have Thanksgiving anytime. Thanksgiving doesn't have to be only what happens on the last Sunday and Thursday or last Thursday of the month of November. It could be something that happens every single day in our lives. The first key truth is this: we saw in Psalm 100 that thanksgiving and joy go hand in hand, all right? And this is important because there's some people who just don't like to be happy. I mean, I get that. You know, people are different levels of excitement. There's nothing wrong with that. But happiness, joy, and thanksgiving go hand in hand. It's hard to be thankful and miserable at the same time, isn't it? God starts this way on purpose. What did it say in verse 1? It says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs." Now, we don't know who the author of this psalm is. Humanly, it's not known. It was a popular song in ancient worship. The title of it is called "A Psalm for Giving Grateful Praise." It came originally with some sort of instrumental accompaniment, and they sang it. This was a psalm that people would sing as they came to the temple to give a gift, to give an offering. You know, we've been talking about this month and Thanksgiving and how we give in response to Thanksgiving. Well, the psalm here indicates this is what they did. They sang this psalm as they gave with grateful praise in the Old Testament. Now did you notice just in those couple verses all the abundance of praise words, the abundance of words of adoration, acclamation. It said, "Shout for joy." If you have a King James Bible, it says, "Make a joyful noise." God here is literally telling us that we need to shout. Amen. It's not a quiet thing. It's a cry out. The word ruah in Hebrew, it's a jubilant word. The idea is this is what you do when something really cool happens, right? You get an unexpected A on a test. Yes! Your team wins the game. Yes. Your husband picks up after himself. Yes. Right? It's something that just bursts out of you. Worship. It says we are to worship. The King James says serve. Why would one say worship and one would say serve? Because the word abad in Hebrews, it literally means to serve in the context of worship, of a worship event. It means to perform rites of service in a rites of service in a proper worship environment. Guys, we have performed rites of worship today already. We have all been priests who have come into the temple of God, and we have performed rites of service already. What are some of the rites of service we have performed? Well, we have sang a proper ritualistic form of worship. We have greeted one another, a proper ritualistic form of worship. When we do these things, we are worshiping, we are serving his great name. And then there was the word of gladness or joy. It denotes a joy that comes from within, a joy that is all-inclusive. You know, happiness can come upon you. But joy comes from within you. It's something that strikes to the very core of our beings. This is joy. It says we're to have joyful songs. We're to be singing. And it's a cry of joy. You know, this verb is widely used, and it speaks of singing loudly for God, before our God. You know, guys, Thanksgiving is a loud event. Now, some of your tables are not like my family's table, which, by the way, I might be the quiet person in my family. Does that scare you half to death, right? But Thanksgiving is a loud event. Now, volumes can be, vary depending on, personalities, but Thanksgiving is loud. You know, Thanksgiving is like birthday, right? Is birthday fun or what? I mean, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, right? Okay, so I went to the dorkiest college in America. It's called Arlington Baptist College. I don't even know why I went to that place. It was a really dumb choice. But anyway, it was just this weird bunch of weird Christian people, and we did things that we thought were fun that nobody else thought was fun. And we had called it the ABC birthday song. And so if you had a birthday that day and somebody knew it was your birthday and you were in the cafeteria, we only had one serving for lunch. That's how bad my school was, okay? But everybody would say, hey, so-and-so's having a birthday. Let's sing happy birthday. And I'm going to sing you the ABC birthday song. Happy birthday, happy birthday, pain and sorrow fill the air, people dying everywhere, happy birthday, That's why I'm so warped to this day, right? Guys, that's not birthday, is it? That's not birthday. Birthday is loud. Birthday is joyful. Thanksgiving is loud. Thanksgiving is joyful. Guys, just like birthday is a party, worship is a party. Thanksgiving is a party. I guess you've been, you've been to a really good party, right? Right? Okay, what was really cool is I met some great people at Arlington Baptist College. And my freshman year, I became really good friends with Ray Juarez. And Ray Juarez was the first Mexican I ever knew. I mean, I grew up in Detroit, not big Mexican capital. And real early on in our friendship, he took me to my first Mexican party. Man, Mexicans know how to party. I am telling you, I had never partied like and we went to Mesquite, Texas. And Mesquite was like a little cow town. Now it's like a million people live there. But we went to Mesquite, Texas, and one of his cousins, 42,000 of them, okay? I never seen so many cousins in my life, right? They had a ranch. And we went out there, and we got there early on a Saturday morning, and they were roasting the cow over the fire, and people were taking turns, turning the cow. I have never seen so much loud music and guitars, and there was dancing, and there was tortillas, and they were shooting guns, and I had never shot a gun before in my life. And by the end of it, we're throwing sombreros at the air, and I'm pulling the gun, shooting it. It's like, we get to like 11 o'clock, and I said to Ray, are we going home? And he said, why would we go home? We're staying. And I said, where are we going to sleep? He said, who cares? And so we find a spot on the floor, and the next morning at 6 o'clock, it starts all over again. That's a party, guys. You know what? If you don't like parties, you aren't going to like heaven. Man, we're going to get with God, the God who created party, the God who created joy. Thanksgiving and joy, they go hand in hand. The second key truth there is Thanksgiving flows from relationship. I have never met a thankful person who was a lonely person. Guys, Thanksgiving flows from relationship. Look at verse 3 again. Know that the Lord is God, okay? Know that the Lord is God. And then what does it follow with? It is he who made us. He made us. And we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Guys, this verse screams relationship. It screams relationship. Guys, when we are possessed, or the possession of God's, we can't help but being thankful. When we realize that we are the possession of the God of the universe, we can't help but sing songs of joyful praise. And you know what? The truth is, guys, everyone is possessed by someone. You're either possessed by God or you're possessed by the devil. You are either owned by God or you are owned by the devil. In Luke chapter 8, there is this amazing story that points this out. And points out the difference in being God's possession versus being the devil's possession. Or being possessed by God and the Holy Spirit. Or being possessed by demons. We're going to pick up the story in verse 26 of Luke 8. It says, they sailed, that's Jesus and the disciples. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from that town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in the house, but he had lived in the tombs. when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained, he had chained hand and foot and kept under guard. He had broken the chains and had been driven by the demon into the solitary places. And guys, I wish we could just come back this afternoon and do that again. But we're not going to. But we can't help but see the startling image. When one is possessed by the devil, when one is the possession of Satan, do you see the images of the things that come along with that? Characteristics of being Satan's possession are things like nakedness. In this case, it was physical. But in all of our cases, it's at least emotional. Homelessness. Again, he was out on the streets. And for some people, it is physical homelessness. But for all of us, it's a lack of family, eternal family. He was out of control. There was no protection. He had no direction, right? And Jesus says to the demon, to Satan, "Get out of the man." I mean, the man looks at Jesus and said, "Are you going to torture me like these demons have been torturing me?" And Jesus said, "Get out of him." And immediately this man's life changes. Immediately the things of his world are turned upside down. He becomes one who was isolated and alone with no direction, being constantly running from people, to being one who is now connected and has direction. In fact, this man just falls in love with this Jesus who gives him freedom. Guys, we have to know that when we understand that we are possessed by God, that God, we are God's possession, there is relationship. I think Jesus says it best in John 10:14. He says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." Okay, a couple weeks ago, I went to Nashville, and I'm on a late night flight from Dallas to Nashville, so it's a dark flight. And nobody wants to be on that flight. And we land in Nashville, and we get all the way up to the gate, and the gate won't work. We landed in a lightning storm, and apparently lightning had hit the gate, and so the gate won't move. And so we power up to the gate, and we shut our engines down, and the gate won't move. And so everything else is dark. I mean, it's like 11:15, and all the planes are dead at all the gates. So they have to call somebody who lives in Kentucky to come fire up the little car to move the other plane out of the gate so it can pull us over to that gate. And so we're standing there, and we're on an hour. And on my flight, I've been talking to the little gal next to me in the center seat, and she said she was from Belmont, and we struck up this conversation because Palmer, one of our interns, he goes to Belmont, and she just graduated, and she got a job, and I know David Hooks really wants Palmer to graduate and get a job, and so I'm trying to help him out, you know, and we had this great conversation. So lights come on, and we stand up, and I'm standing there in the aisle, and we're talking to people, and then they tell us to sit down and move around, you know, because the cart's going to finally move us to the next gate. And she said, "Hey, do you know who that is?" And there's a guy in the window seat on the other side, and I was talking to him and his wife, and he's some country artist. And then there's this old-time country artist behind me, some guy, big, long, gray beard. And she said, "You got to know him." And I said, "No." And he said, "And in the first class seat right in front of us, that's Randy Travis." Well, at least I knew that name, right? And I didn't know any of them. And they didn't know me, and they didn't care to know me. But you know what? My Jesus knows me, and I know my Jesus. And I would rather have that relationship than any other relationship in the world, wouldn't you? See, Thanksgiving flows from relationship. And then not only is there connection in being his possession, but there's a direction in being his possession. Okay, so the man falls in love with Jesus like instantaneously, right? And Jesus is heading out of the town, and the man wants to go with him. And we pick up the story there in verse 38. It says, the man whom the demons had gone out of begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him, right? Guys, he gave him direction. Guys, Jesus is always giving us direction. Jesus on earth, but he's always telling us what to do. You know, if you've been reading in the church reading plan, we were reading the Matthew, and a couple weeks ago we read the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount is a glorified direction sermon. I mean, think about all the things that we learned Jesus told us to do. He said, okay, turn the other cheek. Don't repay evil for evil, right? Forgive as God has forgiven you. Keep your focus on what's important. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, right? All these directional items given in the Sermon on the Mount. God is constant. When we come into relationship with us, he gives us, come into relationship with him, he gives us direction. Okay, then the last key truth is this. Thanksgiving happens when the church comes together in worship. Look at verses 4 and 5 again. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So now we see that the procession of worshipers, even though we're still on earth, has come to the doors of the worship center of heaven. We're still here on earth, but God has called us to come to the doors of the worship center in heaven and give thanks to him and sing praise to him because he is good. And so we're going to end with that. We're going to end with coming before the doors to the entrance of heaven and sing praise to our God. And in that time, and in our time of worship, we're going to do a couple other things. We're going to have the opportunity to give back to God out of thankfulness for what he has done. And then we're going to close our time together by coming to the table of thanksgiving. Let's stand, and I'll pray, and then we're going to worship. God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for all that you have done, for the connection, for the direction, for the joy. All of that comes from you. And so, God, we give back to you now in offerings of song and offerings of thanksgiving. Be lifted up in our hearts. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray.